All right, Fritzberg and Blood and Faith.com. It's Tuesday. It's the 16th of May, 2023. And I spent a couple days reflecting on what I talk about. And I know the big issue that I talk about is an issue that is quite provocative. I talk about what the Bible calls Jews, which is a Bible term. It's over 80 times in the book of Acts. It's very explicitly mentioned by Jesus Christ several times, especially in John and especially in the Revelation. And to some people, it seems like, you know, what do I got against the Jews? And I get it. It seems odd. From a certain perspective, it seems odd. I agree with you on that. But then again, when you get into the Holy Scriptures and you read the Holy Scriptures, look, I didn't write the Holy Scriptures. I didn't write the Holy Scriptures. John wrote some, and he wrote a lot of good stuff, and he was inspired by the Holy Scriptures. He quotes Jesus Christ directly in John 8, Revelation 2, 9, Revelation 3, 9. He's quoting, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And then when you read what Luke wrote in the book of Acts, he mentioned Jews over 80 times. And, you know, you have to sit back and say, why? Why? Do they have an axe to grind? And now you're on slippery slope as a Christian. Because as a Christian, you know, one presumes that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. When that you come to the table with that presumption that Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God, and these are the words of God. These are the words of God. They're given to us by God Almighty to guide us and to direct us. And when you read what Jesus Christ says, and if you understand that Jesus Christ is the Creator and that he is the Word of God, you got to do something with those things. You can't just say, you know what, that doesn't apply to us anymore. That doesn't matter anymore. That's, you know, that was for 2,000 years ago. Because what happens is, well, it's kind of what's happened to the rest of the Holy Scriptures by the wayward church. And I'm not even talking about the Lutherans or the Episcopalians. I'm talking about evangelical church, where many of them don't. You know, they reject whole sections of the Scriptures, whole themes of the Scriptures. They utterly reject the Great Flood, the creation, the idea that evolution's not only scientifically impossible, but the Holy Scriptures just describe something completely different. The idea of original sin, the idea that the lives of the men before the flood they lived for centuries. Many of them lived 900 years and more. And so maybe it makes sense for them to ignore what Jesus Christ said regarding the Jews if they can ignore the rest of the Holy Scriptures. If you can ignore the fact that Methuselah lived 969 years, that Adam lived, I think, 930 years, that Lamech was, I think, 777 years. These things are just, you know, I'm thinking about it. Noah himself, he lived 950 years. You can check it out. I might be wrong, but look up Genesis chapters 9, 10, and 11, I'd say, in there. But he was 600 years old when the flood came, and I want to say he lived either 300 or 350 years after the flood. And you're, what, Abraham was 175 years old? So maybe the evangelical church has just gotten used to just ignoring large sections of the Scripture. Holy Scriptures are absolutely emphatic that kinds do not change kinds. They reproduce only after their own kind, unless you have an abomination, unless you have somebody purposely mixing kinds, which is a perversion. It's anti everything God did. He hates that. He doesn't like the mixing of kinds. And the story of the Tower of Babel. Maybe evangelicals don't believe in the story of the Tower of Babel either. No, that's just a, you know, that's just a, we don't really understand that. You know, that's just weird. You know, a Babel and they're going to build a tower. Maybe the evangelicals dismiss that. Story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, God, God loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. He firebombed Sodom and Gomorrah, men, women, and children. Let's be clear about that. God Almighty, in the person of Jesus Christ, because he's the regent over the earth, ordered the firebombing of Sodom and Gomorrah because they're full of homosexuals. Yeah, he multiplied the bread. He turned the water into wine. Do the evangelicals believe in that anymore? He made the sun stop in the middle of the day. He made the sun stop in one section of scriptures, and he makes the shadows go backwards in yet a different section of scriptures. Is this just a wink and a nod from the Holy the Virgin Mary? Is this a wink and a nod from the Holy Scripture from the evangelical church? It's a great story. It's all analogies. It's all, you know, telling a story about this, but it's really about that. And none of it's really true. Is that the stance of the evangelical? Yeah, we like this story. We like that story. We like this story. What would WWJD, what would Jesus do? He loves everybody, forgives everybody. He's kind to everybody. He heals people. But we don't want that nonsense about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just, you know, Fritz, why do you have to bring that up? That's not helpful. I love that phrase. I've had people give that to me a couple times. Oh, that's just not helpful. It depends on what agenda you're pushing. What agenda are you pushing if it's not helpful? How about the slaughter of the Canaanites? I'm flat out telling you that Jesus Christ is not the God you think he is. He's not the nice God. He's not the cotton candy God. Tells Joshua, go in there and slaughter them, men, women, and child. Don't let them live. Slaughter them all. Oh, God, what would Jesus do? Well, that's what Jesus did do. It was Jesus Christ that told Joshua to go in there and do that. Then the evangelicals have this idea, well, that's the Old Testament. That doesn't apply anymore. And, you know, maybe it's theological ignorance because the Old Testament has nothing to do with a body of Scripture. There's nowhere in the Bible that names Genesis through Malachi as old. There's nothing in the Holy Scripture itself that calls Genesis through Malachi old. Nothing at all. There's nothing in the Scriptures that calls Matthew through Revelation new. The old covenant that was replaced by the new covenant is the blood of bulls and goats, which can never take away sin, replaced by the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, there was not a new birth. Under the new covenant, there is a new birth through the second Adam. We're born again of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. There's no replacing of scriptures. You don't just say, you know what, 80% of the scriptures, bye-bye, gone. Oh, but they're just so meaningful, and we read the Psalms, and the Proverbs have a lot of wisdom, but, you know, you just can't really take that literally. So have we devolved as a church, as an evangelical church, to the point where, gosh, we don't believe in it anymore? It doesn't matter anymore? We don't believe in it anymore? And we say, well, you got to be born again, but forget five chapters later in the book of John. Forget everything Jesus Christ said five chapters later in the book of John. You can believe John 3:16, but please ignore John chapter 8. Just pretend like it's not even there in the Holy Scriptures. And you could have seminar after seminar after seminar about Revelation. But please, please, please ignore Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. And ignore 2 Thessalonians 2. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Please ignore the strict definition of the Antichrist. Please ignore that. We're trying to create a boogeyman out there. Don't mess us up. It's not helpful, Fritz. It's not helpful. Ignore the strict definition of the Antichrist in 1 John 2:22. Ignore the fact that we've already come to Mount Zion. And we are the church of the living God. We are the church of the firstborn. We're a holy race. There's no other holy race. There is no other holy race. There's no other holy race except those of us born again in Jesus Christ, baptized in Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord God Almighty. There is no other holy race. There is no other chosen people. So I'm reaching a conclusion that, now, I grew up like everybody else grows up. You know, you set one foot in front of the other and you go to church and you believe and you trust the pastor and you do all that stuff. And then, you know, as I've shared before, at one point I had to say, there's something. In fact, that started very early. It started 40 years ago. I said, God, there's something wrong. I used to work on a university campus preaching the gospel to college kids, and I'm like, where's the power of God? Where is the power of God? This is like, it's like, I know who you are. I know who you are, but it's like, there's something wrong. And, you know, here I am 40 years later, and I'm thinking about these things. I'm going, wow, it's not just, you know, there's whole sections of Scripture that the evangelical church doesn't want anything to do with. They don't want anything to do with whole sections of the Holy Scripture. And I've mentioned this on several podcasts over the last, 6 months, maybe a year. But I've said the evangelicals have invented a new religion. They've invented a new religion. They don't like Jesus Christ. They don't, the honest to God don't like Jesus Christ. They don't like Jesus Christ as portrayed in the Holy Scriptures. They don't. They don't like him. They reject him. And this does not make me feel good. It scares me. And what they've done, and the Jews have pointed it out. I've mentioned this before in the Jerusalem Post. There's a great article in there. It's called, Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic? And the Jews say, yes, absolutely, it's anti-Semitic. It's irrevocably anti-Semitic. It constitutes a core value, a core theme of the New Testament. And without that core theme, there is no New Testament. And then they ponder, why is it that the evangelicals are so in love with the Jews and the state of Israel? And they say, well, they've done what we've done. And what did the Jews do? They had the written word, but they rejected it. And they erected a series of man-made traditions that reinterpreted the written word of God into meaning something it didn't never said in the first place. And I think that's what the evangelicals have done. I think that's what the evangelicals, I'm talking Baptists, Charismatics, Pentecostals. Oh, I believe in the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. All right, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, John 8. Oh, what, that's not helpful. And where does it begin and where does it end? I truly believe that Jesus Christ meant what he said, and he said what he meant. I don't think he made a mistake. I don't think he rejected Genesis through Malachi. In fact, I know he didn't. The only scriptures that Jesus Christ ever quotes are the Hebrew scriptures, from the Psalms, from the prophets, from Moses. He didn't reject them. Why would we? But what the Jews did, what the Pharisees did, is he said, yeah, that's not really what it means. It means something else entirely. And if you are willing to read it, Jesus Christ very, very much took them to task for that. Matthew chapter 15 is my favorite example of that. The Pharisees come up to, they'd seek Jesus out. They seek him out. They want to talk to him about washing of hands, washing your hands. And Jesus Christ lets right into it. He said, I don't want to talk about washing your hands. I want to talk about my commandment, the fifth commandment. And you're telling people that to honor your father and mother, don't give them money, give the money to us. Okay, that's what they said. They said, well, if you honor God by giving your money to the church, or you give you the money to the Pharisees, or give you the money to the temple, that's how you honor your ancestors. And he ripped them a new one. Matthew 15, 1-14, something like that. Ripped them a new one. They took it personally. They didn't appreciate that. And if you go back with new eyes and open eyes and you see Jesus Christ referring to the traditions and the precepts, and then you go read Paul about, he talks about he's advanced in the traditions. What you see is what the Jews did. They invented a new religion. They said, yeah, we got this scripture stuff, but you know what? We don't like it. We're going to come up with something different. They keep the scriptures around just for, you know, old time's sake. But as you know, the Jews today, they have the Talmud, and that's their holy book. The Talmud is the holy book of the Jew. It's not the Torah. It's not the Torah. And Christians keep that around to delude themselves. Jews keep it around to delude the Christians. And yes, I've been to a synagogue. Yes, I've been to a bar mitzvah. But I'm telling you that this is exactly what the Jews did 2,000 years ago. They said, yes, we have the fifth commandment, but what it really means is you need to give the money to the Pharisees. So they keep that around, keep the Ten Commandments locked behind some, you know, in a cupboard there, open it up every once in a while. It's like, how do you square all this stuff? And the conclusion that I'm reaching is that The evangelical church, the Christian church, has invented a set of traditions that twist and contradict the Holy Scriptures. Oh, he would never do that. Well, do you believe that the sun and the moon and the stars were created 4 days after the earth was already there? I mean, that's an example. The earth was already there. 4 days later, God creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. But in the first 3 days, there's still day and night, light and darkness. When's the last time that got preached? I guess the church doesn't believe that. Well, we're more enlightened now, and we, you know, we go by science. Can you? I think we're in a very bad place. I think we're in a terribly dangerous place. And when you look at the world, and you know, coming back to the provocative topic that I do talk about, because Jesus Christ talked about it. And you go, you know, why is all this evil going on? Where does this evil come from? Part of my mission was, you know, why is there's an utter hatred towards the white race? I mean, it's a demonic utter hatred towards it. And I just started going through the scriptures. And then the hatred comes right out of Genesis 3:15. The enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I mean, it goes back to there. Does the evangelical church believe in a hatred that God himself put? Not that man put, not that fallen man put, that God put between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Do Christians believe that? Do Christians believe that Satan has children? It goes back with all these other scriptures that I don't know that Christians believe anymore. Do you believe that the devil has babies? Do you believe that the devil has children? Do you believe that the devil has a synagogue? Do you believe that God himself put enmity and hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent? Or is that something that we just gloss over and try to cover up? It all goes together. Because if you do, it doesn't make sense when John the Baptist shows up and he starts calling people a brood of vipers. Well, that doesn't make sense. And it didn't make sense to me. I thought it was just, he got mad and he threw out some cuss words. Well, then Jesus Christ says the same thing twice. You brood of vipers, you brood of vipers. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3, the seed of the serpent. And this is where I say this is layered. It's not a one-off. It has precedent all the way back in the third chapter of Genesis. Okay, you don't build a theological principle on a little scripture that you found out there floating around in 3 Thessalonians. I'm making that up, of course. Oh, look at this. I guess let's build a theology around it. No. What I've said, and I will continue to say, is this has precedent all the way back into Genesis. And it's layered. And it's said in many ways, in many forms, by many different people. But the church won't hear it. The church will not hear it. And I've encouraged people to read what John wrote, read them in series, read them together, so realize it's the same author. People say, oh, John's the closest one to Jesus Christ. All right, okay, what does that mean? Well, he knew him better than anybody. Okay, well, this is what John said that Jesus Christ said. John 8:44. Oh, you're taking it out of context. Oh, hey, listen, if I am, please ignore everything I'm saying. But I think if you read John chapter 8, you'll find out that I'm absolutely not taking this out of context at all. And if you read Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, again, it all flows back all the way to the beginning of the story. And Jesus Christ, he's saying, look, guys, I did come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but these aren't the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're false Jews. They're liars. And I think that can absolutely apply in 2023. Jesus was very clear. If you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. You would have believed in me. You would believe in me. But you don't believe in Moses. You guys don't believe in it. The one that's going to accuse you is Moses himself. And I remind the church that Moses worshiped Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that met with Moses. It was Jesus Christ that gave Moses the Ten Commandments on the Mount. No man has seen the Father at any time, yet Moses spoke with the Lord face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Who does that leave? It's Jesus Christ, who's the Word, The Word is with God. The Word was God. And through Him all things were created. Before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus Christ is God. Now, if Satan has children, and if Satan has a synagogue, if Satan has his chosen people, wouldn't that be a clue in solving some of the problems in the world? I mean, there's a reason that it's in there. There's a reason that it's in there. And when you look at the world, and the more, you know, I don't like to spell it out on the, I don't like to say so-and-so is a Jew, and so-and-so is a Jew, and so-and-so is so a Jew, because what I'm trying to get into the heart of the church is, here's what the Word of God says from Genesis through the Revelation, from the beginning to the very end. If you understand that, and then you come across the facts, it'll make sense. I don't want to build a story on you know, facts of so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that. I want to build them on theology. I want to build them on the Holy Scriptures. I want to build them on the words of Jesus Christ. So that when you encounter the facts, you're like, oh, that's what this is. Is that not what we're supposed to do? Isn't that why we read the Holy Scriptures? Are the Holy Scriptures not our map and our compass and the direction in life? So that when we get lost, we're like, okay, let's look at the map. Well, here's what the map says. Then you're looking up, oh, well, that's right over there. That's right. Look at that. Well, look at that. Oh, that mountain's right over there. That river's right over there. Right here on the map. It's just, we're right here. Or does the church want a nice little religion? Jesus 2.0, kinder, gentler Jesus. One that doesn't hate anybody. Jesus doesn't hate anybody. Excuse me, Genesis 3, 14 and 15. God Almighty is speaking to the serpent. He says, I will put a deep-seated hatred between you and the seed of the woman. Who's the seed of the woman? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hates the seed of the serpent. Oh, but Jesus would never love anybody, never hate anybody. Bring these men, bring those men that didn't want me to rule over them and slay them in front of me. Does that work with your evangelical version of love? Oh, that was Old Testament. No, it was not Old Testament. That was Jesus, the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, so we're just trying to be kind to people. Yeah, well, you know, what I see Jesus Christ doing, it had something to do with the great flood. I see him giving orders to Joshua. Samuel, the prophet of God, hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Samuel, the prophet of God, grabbed that pagan king, and he slew him. He chopped him up into pieces before God Almighty, before Jesus Christ, the town of Gilgal. Elijah took the prophets of Baal, slew them, got the sword out and slaughtered them. Well, what do you think heaven and hell are? What do you think the judgment day is? You think getting killed with a sword's bad? Jesus Christ was very clear about that. He said, don't fear him who can kill you with a sword. Fear him, which is Jesus Christ, who can cast body and soul into hell. And the church does not like this Jesus Christ, does not like him, does not like him, does not like this Jesus Christ. And they've been busy trying to reinvent a different Jesus Christ. That we got a problem. We got a big, fat problem on our hands, a big, fat problem. I mean, it's a big, fat problem, because if he shows up and we're ashamed of his words, we ain't making it, man. We ain't going to make it. And we lead our congregations astray. We lead our own parishioners astray. As the pastors, as the preachers, you set that example. You set that tone. Well, you know, you just can't take that literally. Well, what do you take literally? Do you believe that the sun, the moon, and the stars were created before the earth or after the earth? I know where I stand. I've preached it. Well, you'll never fill your church that way. I don't have any desire to fill a church, even if I had a church, and I don't. I have a yearning desire to honor my king, to honor my monarch, and to say what he said. And if it's ridiculous to the world, fine, I'll be ridiculous to the world. Certainly won me no friends. Certainly hasn't made me any money. But man, I'm loyal to my King. Man, I'm loyal to my King. I love my Jesus Christ. I am exceedingly proud of Jesus Christ. And you look at the evil in the world. I mean, they're butchering little boys and girls right now. And what the evangelicals sit around with their thumbs up the rapture will be here any second. We're screwed up. We're really, really screwed up. Rapture will be here any day. We're so, so screwed up, and the rapture ain't coming. You're not getting raptured out of this method. You're going to live through it. And they're butchering little children. They're literally doing everything they can to destroy America and Europe. Canada. Why? Well, there you go. You got to go all the way back to the beginning. There's a hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Well, I just can't believe that you think you're a white supremacist, Fritz. You're a white supremacist. You don't have the intelligence to even define that term. I know that. You can't even define that term. It just means any white person that's not ashamed of being white. That's all that means. It's any white people that refuses to grovel in self-abasement and shame, which is an utterly anti-Christian concept. Has nothing to do with humility. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. I don't owe you anything for the facts that some African captured your African great-great-great-great-great-great ancestor and sold him to some other African tribe three or four times. And then later on, some Portuguese dude picked him up. Probably Jewish. 85% of the slave traders were Jewish. But I don't want to mention those facts because I don't want to cloud the issue. The issue is the Holy Scriptures. The issue is the Holy Scriptures. And the issue is the fact that there's a genocide going on against the white race now. And you can deny it all you want. It's happening. And where are the pastors? Where are the pastors? Oh, we can't say that. They'll call us a white supremacist. So if you refuse to let somebody murder you, you're a white supremacist. You got a president of the United States saying white supremacy is the greatest threat to America while he's trying to invade this country with non-whites. Put two and two together. Mayorkas, the same thing. Who is Jewish? By the way, but it doesn't change the Holy Scriptures. Don't interpret the Holy Scriptures through what his identity is or not. They need to stand on their own. And so then when you look around at the landscape, you compare your map and your compass to the landscape and you say, oh, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. I don't want to tell you what the landscape is. I want you to learn how to read a map and a compass. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.